Welcome to It's Your Community with Vanessa Denha, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. Vanessa Denha Garmo here with Epiphany Communications and Coaching. So you have a book idea, or perhaps you wrote a book. What now? My guest is a return guest here of It's Your Community. He's well known for his success in public relations with authors and keeping their product moving. Scott Lorenz has written a book himself to help authors title their books called The Book Title Generator, Book Title Generator. Scott, welcome back to It's Your Community.
Thank you, Vanessa. Nice to be here.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. So let's talk about the book. Getting a good book title. When did you realize in your career as a publicist that this was a big deal?
Right at the beginning. Okay. You know, it's so funny. People find a book that's popular in the marketplace, and then they'll say, well, you know, James Patterson did this, and it's, you know, 10 words, and it's like, well, that's because it's James Patterson, and people are really waiting for every book that James Patterson is writing.
Sure.
Or Janet Ivanovich, but you need to have a book. If you're going to do a book title, you need to have one that's memorable and also that describes what the book is about. At least the subtitle should. So
yeah,
it's really important. And I've had to retitle books for clients for years. So it's just something that is, besides writing a book, the book title is like the second most important thing. So
yeah. You know, I remember going to a writer's conference like 20 years ago in Maui, they were talking about how there's all these wonderful books with horrible titles and great titles that are horrible books.
Yes, it's true. And first of all, the Maui Writers Conference would be one I'd like to go to. That sounds wonderful. But the title is really important. It's like naming your child. What would you, you want to name your child something that's going to be memorable and something he won't be teased or she be teased about. I mean, it's and in the book title world, you've got to exercise the same amount of care. You've really got to come up with one that's memorable. The most important thing for a book is a memorable title. So
you also talk about being descriptive in the subtitle, but also the genre. So why is it important to tell the genre in the title?
Well, if people don't know what the book is about, they'll skip over it. Okay. And 50% or more of all books now are purchased on Amazon and then Barnes and Noble and so forth. The subtitle becomes even more important because it can really help people find the book that they're looking for. And let's face it, people that are reading books, you know, they read one thing after the other. Like, I'm interested in business books and marketing books, so I'll read one right after the other, and that's the genre that I'm interested in because it's my world. Some people read romance books one after the other. I mean, they might have a couple different books going at the same time, or some people are into politics. They read political books. So if people know what the genre is that they like, well, I mean, people do know the genre they like, then they search for genres, the book in that genre. So that's why it's important to let people know what it is in the subtitle.
You know, you talk about too, making it searchable. You know, we know this in marketing, Scott, that you have to have keywords in search engines. People do this on websites. I do this for clients on websites. You know, you talk about that in the book title too. You want words that are searchable that your things will pop up, whether it be, you know, business platforms or marketing or whatever it may be, murder mystery books.
Yes, exactly. So, and in the case of my book, Book Title Generator, I came up with that title because the words book title generator are typed into search engines thousands of times each month. It's people who are trying to come up with a title for their book, and they're looking for these computer generated things where they, you know, juxtapose two crazy things together. And sometimes you get a good one, but it's just really a way to, it's a mashup of different ideas and things. And some of them are better than others. But the point is I'm trying to make that is that that term book title generator is typed in and searched upon. So I can live a little bit on some of that traffic. Okay. So it's a natural generator of traffic for me. Anybody looking for a book title, hey, they might need publicity services, which is what Westwind Book Marketing does. So it's just, it's a lead generator designed to be a lead generator for my company.
And it created a niche, really. You created a niche for yourself in the public relations world a long time ago. Scott, we've known each other, God, 25 years probably now. And, when you used to pitch the stories to me when I was a full-time reporter. You created a niche a long time ago. One of the reasons I love about your book is it ties, like you just pointed out, it ties into exactly what you do for a living. You know, and they go hand in hand. And so let's talk a little bit about the work you do as a publicist. You know, when did you decide this niche? And tell us some of the authors you've worked with over the years.
Well, the niche, it was a natural thing for me. When I was in college, this is really interesting. When I was in college, I was on the student activities board at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And so I booked our committee, booked speakers in, top speakers from all over the country. And guess who we worked on the most? Top authors, because they're traveling, they're doing book tours and all that stuff. So we brought in people like Vincent Bugliosi, F. Lee Bailey. Vincent Bugliosi, right after he tried Manson, just a short time after that.
Wow.
F. Lee Bailey, after he was... before the OJ trial, obviously, but it was right after he was done representing Patty Hearst. That was a big story back in the day.
Yeah.
And the newsmakers of the day, it was really kind of incredible. Leonard Nimoy, before they announced that they were going to take the TV show and make a movie, they didn't even, that was all brand new.
And he's right from, isn't he? Yeah. Doesn't he have Michigan ties, right? No,
I don't know. I don't know if he does, but we had all those types of speakers, Eric von Däniken from the, Chariots of the Gods and stuff. And so anyway, I got really interested in this space. Okay. And then I was contacted by a local TV station in Las Vegas to help promote a book. Instead of booking authors to speak, he said, "Hey, can you help this author promote his book?" I said, "What is it?" It's called Howard Hughes, The Hidden Years.
And
this was the book that was from one of Howard Hughes's personal aides, personal assistants, personal aides. And it really revealed all of this information about him with the long fingernails and his quirks and, strange behavior and all that stuff. So I promoted him when I was in college. And then, a few years later, I got into it because that's my line of work in PR and just promoting authors and one after the other. And then after about 20 years, I said, 20 years ago, I said, I'm doing this full time just on authors. So that's what I do. And it's been wonderful. I enjoy it immensely. You've
had some really good, incredible authors. And I know that one author, Scott Lorenz, who we're talking to, actually had books made into movies.
Yes, we've had a couple of those. And it's also another niche. I just wrote an article on my blog. It's called book-publicist.com. And that talks about how to take your book and turn it into a Hallmark movie. I mean, not every book is a Hallmark movie, okay? But if you're a romance writer or, and you write in that style, then you should, go read that blog post because it tells you exactly what has to be done. We did a lot of research on it and who to get a hold of at the Hallmark Channel to get your book considered for a Hallmark movie. And I don't know about you, but come about November 1st, that doggone channel's on all day long at my house and my wife's watching it. Every time I go by, you go, let me tell you, boy meets girl.
Christmas season's the Christmas season. I get it. I have to confess, it's been on my house, for hours at a time.
Yeah, it's great. And so one of the writers that I work with here in Michigan, I called her up. I said, look, you got to read my article and check this out because you need to apply for this. So she did.
And, good.
Yeah.
Good
hopefully we'll be seeing that in a movie, but,
another asset of working with you is that you look for things for your authors such as this.
Yes. Yes. One of my clients was, you ever heard of the movie, The Elephant Man?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, that, that starred Anthony Hopkins, Sir John Gielgud, Anne Bancroft. It was a terrific movie. And that movie was produced by Jonathan Sanger, S-A-N-G-E-R. And Sanger got a hold of me a few years ago to promote his book called Making the Elephant Man, an author's memoir. And that was so enlightening. That book was so cool. I enjoyed it immensely. and working with him. He's just a first class guy. And he is working with all the top Hollywood talent. And he did Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise. He did Marshall. I'm trying to think of that guy's name. Anyway, he just worked with all the top stars over the years and is still making movies. But the interesting story about that was his babysitter came to him one day and said, "Hey, I've got this script that my boyfriend wrote." And it's like, oh my God, you know, these guys get hit up all the time.
Sure.
Producer, sure. Can you read my script? It's like, okay. They find you at Starbucks. They find you, you know, wherever. And so his own babysitter pitched him on a script. And he said, you know, I got to read it because my babysitter, you know, I can't afford to lose a babysitter. So
yeah,
he said, all right, I'll read it. Then put it in his top desk drawer, forgot about it for a year. Now, if I was a babysitter, I think I'd say, hey, how do you like that script? But anyway, he picked it up and read it and he goes, oh my God, this thing is fantastic. And it turned out to be Elephant Man. So
wow.
Brought it into the office. He called up the writers, optioned the thing, brought it into his office. Guess who he worked for?
Who?
Mel Brooks.
Wow.
So they set it on his desk. Mel Brooks comes in one day, picks up the script, reads it, goes, hey, this is a great script. We got to go. We got to make the movie. And he said, I already got an option. We're all set. He said, let's do it. And that was it. And it all from this babysitter who gave it to the, Jonathan Singer. Quirky story, but what a great story it turned out to be. It was a wonderful movie. I highly recommend people watch. It's one of those classics.
It's a classic. Yeah. It's a classic. Yeah. I agree with you.
Highly, just really well crafted, and the stars are incredible, and very nicely done. Anyway, so you know, to take your book and turn it into a movie is so difficult. We're doing that right now with a couple of clients where we've taken the script, we've hired a screenwriter, and then you know to make a script, and then we take that, and then we're entered in various film contests around the world. And I've got one that's won dozens and dozens of contests.
So can the script win awards without it becoming a movie?
Yeah, right. Okay. Exactly. And
then, okay.
So that's what we're doing. And it's part of the strategy. Okay. And to get attention and to, and then we're sending it to various people in Hollywood who will then package it and then pitch it to various studios and individual investors and all that stuff. It's such a long shot. It's so tough, but it can happen. So, and if you're not trying to make it happen, it won't happen. Okay.
Yeah.
So now not every book needs to be a movie. It should, you know, but it is, I had a lady from Florida call me yesterday and it was a murder mystery, involving her brother. And she needed everything. She needed a ghostwriter. She needed a script writer. And it's like, and she has no money. This is really tough because to try to get something done like that, where you have no money to apply, but there are ways to get publicity for a story. You know, you get that, like I told her, you know, murder mystery, Dateline loves this type of stuff. This is what they do. So you maybe turns into a Dateline story. Then maybe somebody sees it from that was watching Dateline, says, okay, I want to option the book or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is how it's done. But
it is a tough business. I had a friend of mine that wrote a true crime story many years ago in Detroit for what was the Free Press magazine, which doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And that happened. A publicist, I mean, actually a book agent in New York read it, called him up and said, can you turn this into a book? It was turned into a book. And then Hollywood wanted to make it a TV series. Now it got shelved, but it was actually in the process. And the only reason it went nowhere is because the guy from the TV studio who picked it up quit, you know, and left. And so, you know, and no one else picked it up. So sometimes it's just the person.
There's stories like that.
I hear
all the time. It's rough. It is a rough biz, but my main focus is promoting books and getting attention for books. You know, I've got a book right now by a client. His own mother-in-law wrote a terrible review for it. And it was just like, and it had errors in it, spelling, stuff like that. So I said, look, we need to unpublish this book, change the cover. You know, it's too busy. and then give it to an editor and have this editor fix all the problems with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Your mother-in-law did you a favor by telling you the truth, but it's unfortunate. Instead, it was over. Instead of over at dinner table, it was in on Amazon.
So, which is terrible.
See, it was.
Yeah.
So, another mother-in-law story to go with. Anyway, so he followed that advice, got it edited, fixed it, made it better, and then republished it. And then we went into it and it got promoted. And he's got. 6 months ago, we had 1,000 reviews. Today, there's over 2,000 reviews on Amazon, 4 and 5 star. People love it. And then the book's called Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters. And it's all these little things, little times in history where some little tiny thing changed history. The wrong turn in the road caused an assassin.
That's a great title.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is.
I got to interview him, Scott.
I'll set you up. Piece of duct tape on a door discovered by a security guard brought us Watergate. Okay, and if those burglars were not discovered because of that piece of tape and the security guard saying, "Wait a minute, why is that here?" And doing some investigation, and they never would have found the burglars, and they never would have had Watergate, and who knows what would have happened after that. It's so. All because of these little tiny things. And he has collected all these things throughout history. It's really fascinating. And his book's selling well. And he does, you know, the interview is great. And just like you're interested, it's an interesting story. So that's what I do. I tell the story, get people interested in a book so they go out and buy it. You know, that's the job of a publicist. So,
yeah. And I love history. I love stuff like that. We're talking with Scott Lorenz from Westwind Publishing. He's a longtime publicist, actually, PR firm, long time with a niche in working with authors. And Scott, you and people listening, like I started out saying, you know, you have a book idea or you wrote a book, now what? So kind of walk us through that process of somebody listening, okay, and they want to reach out to you.
So if somebody has an idea for a book, I'm not the right guy to get a hold of. Okay. And you need to have it written. And I would go with somebody that knows how to write books, who's written books, and they're called ghost writers. And you find a ghost writer and you need to be able to find one that's, you don't have to meet with them in person, but it's nice if you were able to meet with a ghost writer in person and, to kind of frame the whole thing out. I mean, you're going to spend anywhere from 15, 20, 30,000 bucks on a ghostwritten book. And you could spend more, a lot more. You could spend less too. It just depends. But you've got to get that story down or write it yourself. But you need to follow a format, and that is a format that people expect. You can't just write, I was born in, 1952 and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's not how you start a book out. So you need to have a talent in writing. So or hire somebody that does. Okay. Then once that's done and edited and all that, then it needs to be published, and you can go, or you go to an individual publisher, or you go to an agent and you say, "Hey, I've got this book. Here's the synopsis of it. And are you interested?" And so then an agent then would go to a publisher like Random House, Hachette, Simon & Schuster, somebody like this. Okay. And they say, here's this book, here's the synopsis, here's the first chapter, whatever they use to package and pitch that book. Okay. So that's one route. Or you take that finished book and you publish it yourself on Amazon. Okay. You can do it. It's not that tough. It's, a few hundred bucks and you can have your book published on Amazon, but it still won't sell itself in any approach you take. It still has to be promoted. Sometimes publishers promote the book, but oftentimes they put that back in the lap of the author.
Yeah.
And if you publish it yourself, guess what? You are the promoter, or you got to hire someone like myself and who promote the book and get it out there, get interviews on, TV, radio, newspaper, magazines, blogs, podcasts, whatever we can, whatever you can get. So that's the essence. Or then there's another option. It's called independent publisher. These are publishers who help you take the book, and then they don't pay in advance. They'll help you publish it. You pay them a fee to help publish it. And they have, they do some things that help with distribution and marketing and so forth, audio books, stuff like that. So those are the three main approaches. I hope that's clear,
Very clear, Scott. And you also talk about, you know, a couple of things that you mentioned that you help clients do is creating a book trailer. Can you speak to this a little bit?
Yeah. You know, just like a movie trailer, when you see a preview for a movie, the thing that's been happening a lot with books these days is that a book trailer is created. So we do that for our clients. And I work with a company that works with Disney and some of the big companies, Discovery Channel, and, you know, they do book trailers on the side kind of a thing. And they said they write a script. They will find live video. Let's say it's the scene in New York City. They'll have a flyover of a helicopter flying over New York City. All this stuff is out there. And so they'll use real footage. They'll use stock photography, set it to music, and bring your book to life. And this is an important aspect these days. It helps people visualize what the book is, and it helps people, catches people's attention. It just, sometimes reading a paragraph, you just doesn't, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to do sometimes, even or a page. But a book trailer or a video trailer like this brings the book to life. And then people say, oh, I see, I get it. And, you know, anything you could do to get people interested in buying the book, that's what, yeah. You know, that's what we yeah. do.
What are they, about a minute long?
A minute. Yep.
Yeah. About a minute
keep
long.
I'm short.
Scott Lorenz is who we're talking to, Westwind Public Relations. He's longtime book publicist and worked with many authors over the years. What else do you want to share with our listeners, and how do we get your book?
Well, my book is available at booktitlegenerator.net, and that's that simple. And any given, the price changes with various things, but it's like $3. I'm not trying to make any money on it. It's a lead generator, you know, yeah. And most of the sales are in Kindle. So that's fine. Buy the Kindle version. Paperback is like $9.95. It's really nominal. But it'll get you to think about different ways, different approaches to title a book, not just, you know, one approach. And we can talk about that too, for just, you know, briefly.
Yeah.
You know, you want a book to be memorable. And I suggest people use numbers in their book title, like 4-hour work week. Okay. That caught my eye right away when I first saw that in a bookstore. It's like, wait a minute, 4-hour work week? How does that work? So I read half the book standing there at Barnes & Noble. That was terrific. But then Tim Ferriss wrote that book, and then he did 4-hour chef, and he did 4-hour whatever, athlete or something. And the point is that he kind of owns the number 4. And he could do, his next book's going to be 4-hour something else, okay? Because yeah. That's what people are looking for. And the word four is F-O-U-R, four characters. The number four is just one character. And in this character battle we have in space and everything else,
yeah,
easier to comprehend that number than a word. So that's the whole process I walk people through, and saying, this is why you should consider numbers. You know, the 7 habits of highly effective people. Bing. I mean, there's just all kinds of books like this, 50 Shades of Grey. Okay. There's just a number of ways to use numbers in the title. I didn't mean that. Yeah. That was a number of ways to use a number. Total accent.
Then there's, no pun intended.
There's idioms and cliches. Okay.
Yeah.
Idioms and cliches are things that people have heard and say about certain things. And don't cry over spilled milk, or it takes two to tango. Or back to 50 Shades of Grey. Okay. Shades of Grey is an idiom. So, yeah. And the thing is, people say, oh yeah, if most books are sold by word of mouth. It's like, you tell a friend, they tell a friend, hey, I just read this book on such and such. And but if you can't remember it, it doesn't matter. So it's important to get a title that people can remember. And that's why idioms and cliches, people will always say, I think I heard that before. Yeah. Well, you didn't hear about the book. You heard about the cliche.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's part of it. And then another one, another technique I like to suggest is alliteration. And that's where the first two letters of the first letter of a word is repeated. So like Black Beauty. Okay. Angela's Ashes, Gone Girl. Okay. Those are examples of alliterative titles, and those also become memorable. And, but anyway, there's a whole bunch of techniques like this and ideas in that book, and people can check it out.
Scott, how do we reach you for people listening here on It's Your Community?
My website's bookmarketingexpert.com, separated by hyphen. So book-marketing-expert.com. And come on in, check it out. Call me or email me. Tell me about your book. I really need to work with books that are just about to be published or near publishing. I can also work with books that are already out for a year or two. Okay. And we just have different approach to that for the ones that have been published. And then I'll be happy to talk to authors. And I can, and then on my blog, it's book-publicist.com because I'm a book publicist. So there's all kinds of articles with free advice so people can apply their own methods and techniques, and they'll find everything that they need to know on that site with regard to book marketing. So
again, Scott Lorenz's own book is called Book Title Generator. Scott, any last words before we let you go here in It's Your Community?
I don't know what more I could say. buy a book. When you buy a book, sometimes a little option comes up at the end. It says, write a review, and you go, what do I say? Well, you know, if you like the book, say that. You say, this would be a good book. I liked it because blah, blah, blah. I recommend this book to, you know, college grads or young women or whatever it is. You know, tell people what you think about the book, because that helps people decide if they should buy a book or not. Okay, those reviews are important. So I always encourage it, even if it's just a couple sentences. It's important. So that's, you know, my advice there.
Thanks, Scott Lorenz, for joining us here in It's Your Community. Thanks all of you to listening. And if you have any questions or comments or topics you want me to get to, you can reach out to me, Vanessa Denha Garmo, at Epiphany Communications and Coaching, or you can find me on any of the social media platforms. I'm on LinkedIn and I'm Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And as always, we remind you to communicate, connect, and collaborate with your community. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time here on It's Your Community.
It's Your Community, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.